Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over. And I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale going on right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In-app only.
That was an asinine move.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I was thinking about coming out of the shoot here and telling y'all about my new boots that I got on, but y'all want to talk about puppy chow?
What is that, ostrich?
Hell no, it's python.
It's Sturdy's Daily.
Before we get to that boner.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Dirty's Daily brought to you by Blue Diamond Almonds, lightly salted. Even Ron Hughley's had a few today, and that's right. Ron tasted some of my nuts. It was tremendous. It was absolutely tremendous. They are good, ain't they, Ron? A little salty.
Great nuts.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Look here. This is
great sweaty nuts.
No, they weren't sweaty. They don't sweat. They're in this bag. Even though I did leave them in the car last night, this morning, and they were a little hot in that seat over there. But
it's almost the holiday season. Get them sweaty balls.
The almonds. Exactly. See, you done took my almonds to nuts to balls. See, Tyler, you're real creepy.
We know you've never seen that episode.
It's a holiday edible.
I'm not.
Me and Ron were simpatico.
One of the real upsets when you told me I've never seen an episode of Saturday Night Live.
I've seen highlights, and I've had somebody tell me to tune in, and I've watched it for a couple minutes, never seen a full episode. Zero chance.
That's an old Baldwin skit.
There it is.
I loved that one in Canteen Boy.
Well, let me tell you what's not a skit.
No, it's not.
What's not a skit is what's going on over there at NRG Stadium, and it's become hard to stomach, boys.
You wish it was a skit at times.
I wish it was. I wish I would wake up and it was an episode of Saturday Night Live or Monday Night Live. That's what I wish it was.
It's a nightmare.
I am officially, boys, I am absolutely out on the Houston Texans offense, which, I mean, to be completely honest with you, means that I'm out with I'm out on the Houston Texans in general in 2025. I am very thankful that D'Amico and Nick believe that it's a year-to-year league and your team changes every year and it's completely different. It's week 8 and I'm out, boys. And the crazy thing is, the one that's pushed me off the cliff is the head coach. The one that's pushed me off the cliff over there is D'Amico Ryans.
It's my decision.
Oh, not Nick Caley.
No. It's not. Well, I mean, look, no. It's the product is a result of Nick Caley and some of those that are around him. But when I lose hope is when I know the head coach, I've watched it with my own eyes, the head coach was overseeing what was going on offense in OTAs, turning his back on special teams, turning his back on the defense, and literally being on the side of the 50-yard line watching the offensive line coach do work, watching the offense work in walkthroughs all the way through training camp, all the way through the season. He hands over play calling duties on the defense side of the football. D'Amico Ryans is as involved in this offense as he will ever need to be and have to be. and it still stinks. And more important, I have answers, boys. What the Seattle game did was bring several things to light. And I highlighted several of those yesterday in what in the world was this coaching staff thinking with the plan that they had in Seattle. And now at that point in time yesterday when we talked about it, I was thinking just based off my reaction to the game of what I saw, right? I mentioned it. Dare Agumbawale is your third down back again for some reason. We're rotating left guards again for some reason. We have zero screens, zero exotic runs in the game, and we think we're just going to line up and run into the teeth of this defense. And I'll be damned if I didn't listen to Texans All Access last night. And I didn't hear D'Amico Ryans literally saying what I hoped I would never hear. When asked about the offense lacking physicality versus Seattle, this was D'Amico's answer.
Yeah, that's the main thing. We knew all week. We talked about their front and how they're strong. The strongest part of their team was their front, and we had to be able to control their front on our double team blocks where we didn't. We got split on some of the double team blocks where you're not expecting that to happen. So we just got to be able to strain better. We got to be able to play with better technique. And if that's the key to winning a game, we have to execute that and get it done. Yep.
You can't tell me going into a game, you've watched your team play all year long, all offseason long. You know who you brought in here. You know who you paid. You know what's going on your offensive line. You cannot tell me that you game plan for 15 days and your thought was the key to this game is we got to control the line of scrimmage versus the best run defense. And so, by the way, not just the best run defense. They got dudes over there that are monsters that you know are monsters that you know are going to be able to split double teams. And you're going to go up there and you're going to, with 15 runs in between the tackle for the most part, you're going to run into the teeth of that defense. And then you're going to literally talk about your guys not being able to control the line of scrimmage. You did not expect that defensive line to split any double teams.
They saw Leonard Williams and thought,
we're going to control his ass.
Ed and Andrews got him.
Got him.
And Lakin and Juice, whoever. Like, they saw Jaren Reed.
They got Jaren Reed. Got him.
Nailed him.
We're going to, in fact, it ain't even Lakin. It's Lakin and Juice and then whoever gets to join him.
We'll bring in Blake Fisher. He's got DeMarcus
Lawrence. I mean, you got to be kidding me. Like, that could not be. You couple that with the fact that they had zero in the game plan to keep them honest. From a run game perspective, they did a couple of little boots that were nice that got Dalton Schultz open. But I'm talking about run game.
Yeah.
I'm talking about run game. Nothing in the lineup. And you like to hear D'Amico say, we thought the key to winning this game was controlling the line of scrimmage. Like these guys, I mean, they're delusional of the guys that they have. All right. And now, again, 15 rushes from running backs. And it never got going. It was in critical situations. You literally got manhandled up front, which, by the way, most people would expect with your offensive line versus that defensive line that was there. Here's D'Amico Ryans again on Texans All Access talking about what they need to do in the run game to get it right.
Yeah, you just get back to the basics and the fundamentals, right? You don't try to reinvent the wheel. You get back to the things that we have done well, and you try to lean in on those things. And you just making sure that we're clean on our blocking assignment, who we're going to, making sure we're IDing the proper people and going to them and actually finishing on the correct people.
They're all fixable.
Yeah, this is, I mean, if the answer to, and I know D'Amico Ryans has to say the very vanilla things in with Texans All Access. I get it. I get it. It's the only time we hear from the coach on the radio outside of a press conference perspective, and I get it. It's going to be vanilla. I don't expect him to throw anybody under the bus. But right now, 7 weeks into this season, 6 ball games into this season, if you're asked about this particular offense and this run game and what was just put on display of getting absolutely dominated in the trenches, and your response is get back to the basics, get back to the fundamentals. I mean, This offense is shot. This run game is shot. They have zero chance based on what we watched Monday night and what we're hearing from, again, a defensive-minded head coach that is overseeing this offense. I'm telling y'all, this Ron, is precisely why I'm out. After 7 weeks, in the middle of week 8, I've decided I am completely out.
We're back to execute.
Yeah, we're back to execute. We're back to fundamentals and technique.
Doing what we do well. If they could get that Ravens defense back in here.
Let me tell you what you can do when that guy across the ball from you is as good as some of them cats you had on that Seattle defensive line. You can take your techniques and your mechanics and throw them out the window. You can put a double team. You can put two guys. You can put two of the offensive linemen that you had. I mean, you had months to go fix your offensive line. These are the guys you pick. You can put two of them together with great technique and mechanics, and it's out the window. They're gonna split that. It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. And then you have no answers.
It's so simple, Clint.
You have no answers whatsoever beyond running those guys downhill. Look, I don't have a problem with you running the football. By the way, I don't have a problem with you running the football. It's not about running versus passing. It's about doing absolutely nothing to offset how good these guys are up front. You tell us these guys are that there was a strength of their team, and you think you are a team with this offensive line that could go in there and control that group. With that mindset moving forward in this season, they're gonna beat Tennessee again.
They're gonna get the Raiders.
Some of these other squads, like if you think you're gonna go control the line of scrimmage versus a solid front, you have no chance. You're gonna get dominated once again. And then the icing on the cake. Here's the icing on the cake. And by the way, for those of y'all that'll take a shot and say, hey man, if you're Mr. Know-It-All, won't you go over, hey man, I ain't getting paid millions of dollars to run offense. I'm getting paid to evaluate and analyze and bring it to the people. So here we are.
He's getting paid millions of dollars to do radio.
Yeah, that's right. Millions, my ass. Here we go. How about this? And this is the worst one of all. And this is where it gets real scary. This is the head coach of the Houston Texans who's overseeing the offense for this team. And the question is, what is your offensive identity here in Houston?
The identity of our offense is, at the end of the day, to me, Will, identity of offensive football is move the ball. It doesn't matter. People want, oh, we're run first, pass first. It doesn't matter. Like, if you get 4 yards, you get 4 yards. It's just throwing the ball, passing the ball, and offense just has to be efficient. And that's what it has to be, right? When we played versus the Titans and versus the Ravens, what was our identity? We moved the football because we were efficient. We stayed on track. We stayed, it didn't matter if we ran the ball or we threw the ball. Short passes, it didn't matter. Like, that's what offensive football is about, right? And that's what, you know, the team we're playing this week and watching these guys on tape, what's their identity, right? They move the football. Like, they find ways to get the ball out. They run the ball well. They throw the ball quick, getting out of the quarterback's hands very well, and they're efficient in what they're doing.
Biggest takeaway there, boys, is He was completely out of answers. Like, he was completely lost.
He was caught off guard by the question, it seemed like.
Completely, like, literally had to repeat identity to gather his thoughts to answer that question. And here's the deal. It's clear that they're struggling offensively.
Ooh.
Right? But for you to not even have an idea of what you're trying to be good at, forget about being good at something, to not have an idea of what you're trying to be good at. Like, we can take a couple of their phrases, low-hanging fruit. If somebody came to me and said, hey, Clint, what's the identity of the Texans offense? I'd say, look, I don't know what the identity really is, but I can tell you what they're trying to create from an identity perspective. They are trying to create, let's use one of their phrases, death by a thousand cuts, right? Minimize the risk, right? Minimize the risk, stay efficient, stay ahead of the chains, right? Let's take another one of their phrases. Let's say, hey, how about a game plan offense? We're going to be multiple. We're going to do what the defense presents, whatever. We're going to be wide ranging, and whatever the defense gives us, whatever opportunities they present us, we're going to try to attack there. We're a game plan offense. That would be an identity. Now, I would argue that identity requires your players to be more cerebral than anybody else in the league, and that's one of the problems here is you're not that, so you're not fitting your players. But it's very easy to answer that question with phrases that they've used before, from a death by a thousand cuts or the game plan offense. And to not have an answer is the scariest part of this thing for me. I mean, you could lean into the football 101 stuff of being more physical and being because you look at San Francisco. What's San Francisco's offense? Well, they're run first football team. They're more physical than anybody in the league. They're going to play action you to death, and they're going to have a great screen game and a quick game to protect their quarterback. That's their identity, right? I mean, that's who they are. Regardless of who's quarterbacking, that is who they're that's who they are. Right now, you can get into the outside zone stuff because that's a Kubiak and that's McVay and that's all these guys. You can get into a dominant whatever they're trying to do from a run game perspective. You can get into that as well. But the fact that by the way, did I say CJ tried to answer that question too and didn't do much better? My point yesterday was I don't believe they know who they are. And Ron, today I'm telling you I don't know that they believe who they want to be. Mm.
You don't even think they know it.
I don't think they have an idea of
that. Didn't sound great. I'll be honest.
Well, I don't. And right, and that's the guy that's overseeing a first year play caller.
Because there are times we heard Dusty would do this. Dusty would just be cagey and just, you could tell on purpose, acting like, yeah, I don't know, because he just didn't want you to know. Like,
right.
I don't get the sense that was what that was.
I don't think he can answer the question. But the most concerning thing about that, Ron, is like you've sat in a meeting room with Nick Caley. Like you've sat in a meeting room for Nick Caley for 3 or 4 months. Like what did Nick Caley tell you that his offense is?
Mm-hmm. Right? When you interviewed him, you know, as you said, it was his decision.
Moving the ball.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but whatever the term, like whatever the terminology is,
I mean, what did y'all discuss?
We know you're struggling, so it doesn't necessarily have to be what we're seeing. But what did y'all discuss? We're gonna be a great X, Y, and Z. We are busting our ass to be really good at X, Y, and Z, and we get just move the ball. And I believe my fear is that's coming from the head coach. And ultimately, if he can't answer that question any better, then we can't expect Nick Caley to answer that.
Well,
question.
We got him tomorrow, so he'll answer.
We'll find out. That'd be great.
Play that live.
The other fear of that, Ron, is that it sounds like it's never been discussed.
Holy mother of God.
Someone texted and said Slowick couldn't answer that question. I don't know about that. I think Slowick was like, hey, man, we're trying to get the ball down the field last year.
And explosive.
Yeah, I mean, last year, but yeah, I mean, they were definitely an outside zone team, wide mm-hmm. zone to outside zone team.
Explosives down the field. Then it came quick game.
Aggressive stretch the field, yes. Then you find out you can't protect your quarterback, so you throw a little quick game. But to your point, you say, let's say it is true that Bobby couldn't do it. Guess what? Bobby got fired. I mean, that's the point is like, it's one thing to go out there and struggle on either side of the ball and me not be able to see an identity. Like, what are these guys trying to get accomplished? It's another thing when asked about it to stumble through the answer and not have an answer.
Maybe Nick will tell you what his offense is. If I could be a fly at the end of that game.
I'm out.
When ABC caught it. If I could be a fly at the end of the game where Nick Caley walks up to CJ and they're about to go across the field to shake hands. He said something to CJ and CJ like tapped him on his back and then they kept on going. Like in my mind, I meant, man, sorry, man. Just sorry we couldn't come through for you. It's all right. I just really want to know what that conversation.
God bless, brother.
CJ, because CJ looked at him like, man, it ain't your fault. That's the way that's the look in his eyes. All right, coming up to a team that lost last night, but the Rockets, you got to feel good in a double overtime thriller against the champs on ring night. What'd you think about KD's debut? Kevin Durant, he debuted 47 minutes. He fouled out with 23 points. Sorry, Tyler. And 9 rebounds, 3 assists. What did you think about Kevin Durant's debut? We'll talk about that and much more coming up.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Taking care of your eyes shouldn't be a hassle. That's why Warby Parker is a one-stop shop for all your vision needs. Our prescription glasses and sunglasses are expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Stop by a nearby store or use our app to virtually try on frames and get personalized recommendations. Did we mention we offer eye exams and take vision insurance too? For everything you need to see, head to your nearest Warby Parker store or visit warbyparker.com today. That's warbyparker.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan, $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer, first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. The Texans are struggling, but the Rockets, they got off the start of their season last night, opening night. They were the opening game, and it was a great game, straight up. Double OT, and the Rockets, they did lose 125-124, but a really, really fun game. And first of all, with the Rockets, we talked about it a bit earlier. I didn't get to this, and we said it before. Like, some of those games last year, even though they were really good, they were tough watches. Like, that, even last night, their first game, you could just see that. Score easier.
Oh yeah.
they can still defend, but you know, they can get up and down. You can see the athleticism. They shoot, even though they didn't shoot it great, you can see like there's so much more space on the floor. It is just a more enjoyable watch. Right.
There's so many different ways. I mean, you can already tell, obviously, you probably knew this when you get Kevin Durant, you probably know this, assume this, but to see it, there's so many different ways this team can win. Last year, it was, you got to muck this thing up, man. You got to get as physical as you possibly can, muck it up, take them out of their comfort zone, and hopefully you can hit some shots late to win a game, right? And they were really good at it, obviously. But now, just, I look up there and KD is doing his thing like at the left elbow. And it's clearly blanketed. I don't know who was covering him, but clearly blanketed. And he just stands straight up and shoots a jumper from the elbow and knocks it down. To have a guy that can score that easily, doesn't have to be wide open or doesn't have to be at the rack to score, that just opens up so much more to you know, ways that the Rockets can win. Obviously through KD, as you saw last night, they ran it through through Şengün, and he was lights out. We saw that plenty of times last year, especially late in the season where they're running it through him. You still have the ability to do some of that defensive roughhouse type stuff. So the different ways that they can attack and the different ways that they can win, the different ways they can frustrate an opponent is impressive. It's fun. I know it's one game, but it's blatantly obvious.
713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in on this. Your thoughts on KD's debut last night? KD, 47 minutes. He fouled out, and he picked them. He picked them fouls up in bunches late. I mean, he was sitting there fine, and then next thing you know, he got several of them in a row, including really the toughest one where he sent SGA to the line, which eventually he took the lead there, and those were the winning points there when he went to the line. But he fouls out of that game. He gets 23 points. Tyler had him at 24.5. Is that what you had him at, Tyler? You just needed a bucket.
Yeah, I lost him by the hook.
Yep. But he goes 23 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists. Very, very efficient, which is, I think, even to the point that you were making there with KD. Like, KD is not somebody that has to have 30 shots to get up, right? He got 23 points. He was 0 for 4 from 3, which is not going to be something that happens. I mean, on 16 attempts, you know, and he missed all his threes and he gets 23 points, that could have easily been, you know, a 30-point night. And he had some issues. There were some turnovers late that he had. He missed a free throw late in the fourth quarter that could have made it a 3-point game instead of a 2-point game. I'm not really worried about that. I love what I saw from him. And you can see they just have a dude when it all breaks down that can go get a bucket. Yeah. And it's more confident. Like, it's not like, hold on to your horses. We'll see what Jalen Green's going to do. Is he going to? No, they got a guy that can do it. And because they have a guy, their other guys have advantageous matchups. Like, because Kevin Durant's on the floor, Alfred Şengün is getting guarded by a guard. and they were able to work that. So you could see his impact. It wasn't the best of KD, and I don't have any concerns that he's going to miss late game free throws or that he's going to have turnovers like that. But you can see how things opened up for the second and potential third players with Şengün and guys like Thompson. So I was impressed and really excited about the future with his performance.
Yeah, hell, I mean, you should be. I mean, this is going to be fun, man. I mean, on primetime stage against the champs and you double OT and play down to the nails. I mean, that's a good start, no doubt.
No, it is. Someone text in, guys, Reed Shepard is not going to work. We got to find somebody else as clear as day. That can't be. I mean, come on, guys. I mean, he's your number. He was your number three pick. You got to give him more than the time he's had. I just don't. I mean, that was probably, especially opening day. Yeah, OKC. I mean, he had been in those moments, and I think he's gonna have to get. Well, this guy's a freshman out of Kentucky that went right to the league.
Well, you got to expose him to it. I think that's a good point, Ron. Is, you know, last night was great exposure for guys that need to develop that didn't get a lot of exposure last year. Mainly Reed Shepard, obviously. I think the step that was made in the right direction last night, which maybe this is why my bar is set extremely low for Reed Shepard, but the step that was made last night was he damn sure looked like he belonged. And from a sense of wanting to be there and being aggressive and not hesitating and not, you know, bypassing opportunities and things of that nature. Like he clearly was aggressive. He clearly did not hesitate when he wanted to take a shot. And look, it wasn't pretty, obviously, but the step of just being confident in those moments for me, which we've seen small sample size of that. We've seen flashes in the pan of that. Can it happen every time he touches the floor? I think is a big question. I think that's, for me personally, before I get to, well, how many threes did he knock down? Is he distributing the ball? How effective is he at? Like, I just want to see him go out there and consistently feel like it's like, hey, man, appreciate y'all showing up on my floor today and playing with me.
Yeah.
Like, just bring that attitude of like, hey, man, I'm going to come at your throat kind of deal. And the rest I think will fall in place, but that's the part I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And I think we saw that last night.
I'm sorry. He just hasn't had enough meaningful opportunities to say no, right? Like, to get him out of there. He had to go in there. They would have rather had Fred. They would have rather had Amen Thompson. But obviously they had some injuries there. And I think he's got to get those opportunities. All right. Let's go to our guy, B. Scott, a little Texans report with Brandon Scott. He'll probably mix in some Rocket stuff if I know him. But Texans report coming up next right here live on the draft.
Football in H-Town is on the rise.
I love D'Amico Ryans, man. I tell you what.
H-Town, I'm back.
Our guy B. Scott has all the latest from the gridiron.
I don't see no bitches nowhere around here.
It's time for your weekly Texans report.
You ain't laying down for nobody.
On the
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome in. As we are live here, it's 4:40. That means we hear from Brandon Scott, by the way. A little football talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. All right, there's a lot from today and the press conference. And B. Scott, you have covered this team. You've covered every bit of the D'Amico Ryans, C.J. Stroud era. Would you say this is, at least from what you hear from the fan base and others, is this the most, the least level of belief that is being had for those two guys right now?
Yeah, it's got to be rock bottom in terms of belief, right? Yeah. Like, and I felt like week three felt like rock bottom at the time, losing to the Jags the way, I mean, y'all remember how that game looked, how the Jags tried to give them the game and they just wouldn't take it. That felt like rock bottom at the time, but now we're a couple of weeks out of this thing and there's something to be said for coming out of a bye week. And I know all of us were kind of offended by this. Like, not, you don't even have to be a Texans fan. Just appreciate the game, right? To come out of a bye week and to look as ill-prepared and not ready for the moment as they did was really disappointing. And so when you talk about belief, how could you believe in that? How could you watch Monday Night Football the way the Texans performed under the circumstances, given that they had 15 days to prepare for it? And I know some of that is off days, bye week and all of that, but you understand, they had 2 weeks to prepare for this opponent. And they come out there, you got one of your leaders on the offensive line talking about complacency. You hear D'Amico Ryans today asked a question about, and we might get to this, but asked a question about their offensive identity. He can't really answer it. And it looked that way. It looked that way on the field. And so when you talk about belief, man, it's got to be at an all-time low. It feels like rock bottom for this iteration, right? For the D'Amico Ryans era so far, it feels that way.
Well, you know, the interesting thing, and this is one of them, it's about D'Amico for me, is D'Amico is why I've lost all hope on this season and definitely with this offense. Is, you know, I would like to think that D'Amico is, you know, just not offering an explanation or covering for his guys or not wanting to throw somebody in his butt. But this is the same exact thing we saw last year. It's all fixable, technique and mechanics. All they got to do is execute, do your job, do what you're coached to do. And then at the end of the year, the offensive coordinator gets fired, right? You can't ever figure it. None of the problems ever gets fixed and your offensive coordinator gets fired. And now, so here's another one, and it's the same song and dance of, oh, I mean, plays are good. I mean, the plays are good. We just got to execute after we snap the football, right? I mean, that's the part in me is like I've heard this song and dance before, and it wasn't protecting anybody. It was real. Like there was an inability to fix or adjust that we've already seen cost one offensive coordinator his job. It seems like they're on the way to for another one.
Well, it seems like literally the issue is that they don't have the answer. Like, why does he sound like he does not have the answers? What you see in the press conference is reflected on the field or vice versa, right? Like you can see them searching for answers on, like, think about it. He's asked that question. What's your offensive identity? The thing that he can't say that's frustrating about all of it, that we all know the real answer is, we don't have one. We ain't got one. He can't say that. And so absent of that, absent the real answer, he doesn't have any good, like, you know, just BSing it, if you will. But y'all had Cecil Shorts on here. You and him have talked about this. You and Cecil have talked about this. And it was the first thing I remember Cecil saying when he was on with y'all earlier in the show was, man, they don't have no identity. They don't know what they want to be, what they want to do, what direction they want to go
in. But what if he said that, though, Brandon? But what if he just said, right now, hell, man, we ain't got one. You're watching it.
You know what? I think we could have at least appreciated the candor. As frustrating as that would have been, and as frustrating as that would have been to hear. And when you talk about confidence, you would have you probably would have had even less confidence.
But it's been better than move the football.
I would not have bailed on the offense today if he had said that. If he had said right now, man, we ain't got one. But here's what we're working towards. Here's what our end game is.
This is what we want to be. But right now,
that would have been a better answer.
Yeah, I left D'Amico Ryan's audio, his meeting with the presser today. I left that as in, I don't know that they've even had that conversation.
I mean, I feel like they've had the conversation. It just doesn't feel like it's going anywhere. You ever talk in circles, you know, and everybody's repeating their same point back and forth,
right,
or whatever the points is, don't work, you know. And this is a fair point I feel like was made on either in the YouTube chat or somewhere where I saw it. It's like, hey, how can you establish an identity when your offensive line looks like this? When you're still, this was another offensive part of the game. They're still figuring out a left guard. They don't know who their left guard is.
Well, they think it's better if they're on a pitch count.
Yeah. Well, if that be the case, though, how are you gonna run plays? How are you gonna, what you got? A Lake and Thomason package and a Juice Scrugg package?
I've never heard of the guard thing.
You're
right. I've never
the
heard
guard
that.
On a play clock.
Yeah, or
on a snap count.
You made the point too when you were talking to Cecil Clint about that. There's only but so many run plays and schemes and different ways you can block it. It's five guys down there, or it's six, seven, however many you want to devote to it. But it becomes a numbers game at some point, and you only got but so many options. Yeah, you know, none of them really seem to work for them.
Well, but when you, like, you got to know who, this is the biggest thing for me. You got to know who you are. Like, if this offensive line is not going to go in and dominate the line of scrimmage or control the line of scrimmage versus anybody. Now, maybe the backups in Baltimore after their best players got hurt. Maybe Tennessee when Simmons is a guy that you just got to control one. But you're not going to go control the line of scrimmage your way to the playoffs. And if you like you know that. That's the thing is, like, and so if you know that, what are you going to do to overcome the fact that this week you're not going to be able to create enough creases inside to generate a run game. What are you going to do? How are you going to one off this thing? What are you going? Who else are you going to get involved? And there is zero. There's a zero effort.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you make a big defensive front like that, I'm going to make you defend the screens. Even if I don't make any yards on him, I'm going to make his big ass run sideline to sideline to see if I can't wear him out.
Yeah.
To see if I can't hit a seam that way. Not didn't try it.
Well, and on top of that, the margin for error is slim when that's the case, right?
Like right.
You need to come up with the answers, but also your margin for error is slim when you're a team talking about, hey, you're not going to dominate the line of scrimmage your way to victories. Well, you got to figure it out, but also you are now limited. You are now extremely limited in what you can do. And what do you do when you're inexperienced and limited, which is the case here, right? You got a defensive head coach that's monitoring everything, and then he's entrusted a first-year play caller with figuring it all out. Yeah. It's a bad situation.
We haven't talked a lot about this. Brandon Scott here with us each and every Wednesday, 4:40. Do you think the defense played well Monday?
Not in the beginning. No, I thought.
We keep hearing the four turnovers. It's really three. The other one is the little strip that Woody Marks got. They count that as a turnover that led to the touchback. But they got three turnovers in the game. Offensive play is kind of overlooking. How well do you think the defense off the bye?
Look, I think the defense is at least good. Like, I can still confidently say that the defense is a good defense. But if we're just talking about Monday night, no, I wasn't expecting the Seahawks' second running back to run it down their throat the way that they did, considering that the Seahawks don't even necessarily run it that well. We know they run it a lot, right? They run it as much as anybody in the league, but they don't necessarily run it great. They ran it great early against the Texans. Jackson Smith and Jigba, I understand that he's in the conversation for one of the best players in all of football right now.
I didn't think he would get whatever
he wanted. But he got whatever he wanted against whoever he wanted, right? And so, no, you watch Jackson Smith and Jigba light him up the way that he did, the running game light it up the way that they did early in the game. No, I don't feel like the defense was incredible.
Yeah. Look, the defense got smoked early on. That was the biggest thing. Other than that, it was short fields that they were able to take advantage of. You give short fields to that offense, the way they're humming, they're going to get points on the board. I mean, the slow start, the inexcusable slow start, particularly from Derek Stingley Jr. giving up a big play, giving up a couple of big plays. That's the part that you just. The truth of the matter is the margin of error for this defense is slim to none. You cannot let a team jump to 14-0. It's a wrap. It's game
like
over.
Hunter Brown, baby.
Yeah.
It's like Hunter Brown, and I mean, we can't give up two.
Yeah, because you're in trouble.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's just the reality of who they are. And look, they're the best defense in the league right now in terms of scoring defense. So, I mean, you got to – the expectations come with it.
But look at that, though, the domino effect of slim margins, right? Margin of error is slim for the offense, which means a defense that's actually good, like objectively good. Now their margin for error is slimmer, right? They can't just peel the ears back and go, right? They gotta account for the fact that the offense can't get anything going. So there is a domino effect to the offense being what it is right now.
No, it is. It is a rough go of it. It would take them 8-3 to get to 10 wins. Your thoughts? Do you even look at this team anymore as playoff? Do you even look at them that way anymore?
It's sad because I did as early as a week ago, as recently as about a week ago, because I was feeling good about what they had going into the bye week and their chances at least to play a good. It's not the record, right? Like, it's not even just the math of it all. It's the way that it looks. It's everything that you guys talk about from segment to segment about the offense not having an identity, the offensive play caller not having a good feel. I mean, you think about that stretch where they throw three straight go balls or whatever it was. You think about that stretch where they run the same exact play or a similar one on third and fourth down when, like Clint just mentioned, you know already, and at least at that point in the game have established that you cannot dominate the line of scrimmage. That's not your bag. That's not what your thing is. It's certainly not against this opponent. So, yeah, it's more so about the way that it looks and how bad that it looks as much as it is being 2-4, right? It's not just the math of it all. It's the way that it looks. It's like, I got a hard time envisioning how they go from where they are right now to where they exactly want to be.
All right, that's B. Scott. We may be getting closer and closer to Rockets report here in a.
Yeah, man. They played a hell of a game.
They did.
They played a hell of a game like last night. If they can figure out their ball handling situation and just get somebody to run that offense, they got a lot of good things going for them. So, yeah, shout out to the Rockets, man. We got something here in H-Town.
There you go. Speaking of the Rockets, we got to hear from Udoka. He gave us an update on Amen Thompson, which was a bit of a loss there late in that game. We'll let you know the latest on what's going on with him. Continue with the injury front. The Texans, Nico Collins, Christian Kirk. We'll let you hear from D'Amico himself as he gives an update on them and other quarterbacks around the league. All of that as we continue right here live. A little 5 o'clock fire coming up next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.